it's also something that we can say before meals, sometimes after meals. It's actually also the place that my wife Beryl worked for 20 years, Grace College in Brizzy. What is grace? It's a biggie for Christians, grace is. We sing about it. How many times has the word grace been sung this morning? We talk about it. For those of us who are Lutherans, it's especially significant. Being one of those, you know, key pillars that the whole Reformation in the 16th century was built on. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved love and mercy. That's a definition of grace. God's undeserved love and mercy. And a really good definition it is. But, and this is the heart of what I want to say to you this morning. Grace is not primarily a concept to be defined. It's something to be experienced. Can I say that again? Grace is not primarily something to be defined, explained. Grace is something to be experienced. And I think that's a bit of a challenge for those of us who are connected to churches. Because we can actually spend a lot of time and effort, and have done over the centuries, and in the history of the Lutheran Church, we can spend so much time and effort making sure that everything is biblically correct and that everything is done properly. And then we wonder after a while why church life becomes dull and lifeless and seems to lack little relevance to our day-to-day living. If only. If only we could just get back to experiencing God's grace on a regular basis, then dullness and lifelessness would go out the window, because grace, when it's actually experienced, it transforms. It really does. What is grace? Perhaps grace is best understood when we see it in action in people's lives. Like in the life of the South African woman in the story that I'm about to tell. It's a story that comes from a book by a guy called Philip Yancey. Many of you know Philip Yancey. Probably his best known book is called What's So Amazing About Grace. I'm not reading from that book today. It's a brilliant book. This story comes from another book called Rumours of Another World. It's a story which explains, I think, so powerfully how grace experienced can transform a life in the most amazing of ways. A little bit of a long story. Stick with me if you can. Yancey writes, "When the world sees grace in action, it falls silent." Nelson Mandela taught the world a lesson in grace when, after emerging from prison after 27 years and being elected president of South Africa, he asked his jailer to join him on the inauguration platform. He then appointed Archbishop Desmond Tutu to lead an official government panel with a daunting name, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Mandela sought to diffuse the natural pattern of revenge that he'd seen in so many countries where one oppressed race or tribe took control from another. For the next 2.5 years, South Africans listened to the reports of atrocities coming out of the TRC hearings. The rules were simple. If a white policeman or army officer voluntarily faced his accusers, confessed his crime, and fully acknowledged his guilt, he could not be tried and punished for that crime. Hardliners grumbled about the obvious injustice of letting criminals go free. But Mandela insisted that the country needed healing even more than it needed justice. At one hearing, a policeman named Vanderbroek recounted an incident when he and other officers shot an 18-year-old boy and burned the body, turning it on the fire like a piece of barbecue meat in order to destroy the evidence. 8 years later, Vanderbroek returned to the same house and seized the boy's father. The wife was forced to watch as policemen bound her husband on a wood pile, poured gasoline over his body, and ignited it. The courtroom grew hushed as the elderly woman who had lost first her son and then her husband, as she was given the chance to respond. "What do you want from Mr. Vanderbroek?" the judge asked. She said she wanted Vanderbroek to go to the place where they burned her husband's body and gather up the dust so she could give him a decent burial. His head down, the policeman nodded in agreement. Then she added a further request. "Mr. Vanderbroek took away all my family, and I still have a lot of love to give." "Twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and to spend a day with me, so I can be a mother to him." "And I would like Mr. Vanderbroek to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. I would like to embrace him so he can know my forgiveness is real." Spontaneously, someone in the courtroom began singing Amazing Grace as the elderly woman made her way to the witness stand. But Vanderbroek did not hear the hymn. He had fainted, overwhelmed. Yancey goes on, "Justice was not done in South Africa that day, nor in the entire country during the months of agonizing procedures by the TRC. Something beyond justice took place. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good," says St. Paul. Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu understood that when evil is done, one response alone can overcome the evil. Revenge perpetuates the evil. Justice punishes it. Evil is overcome by good only if the injured party absorbs it, refusing to allow it to go any further. And that is the pattern of otherworldly grace that Jesus showed in his life and death. Does grace make a difference when it's experienced? You betcha. Grace, when it is experienced, transforms from within, so that it just naturally flows from us to others. Just think of that South African woman. What unspeakable brutality she had experienced. Unspeakable brutality. And you and I, we kind of find ourselves, you know, in her corner too, don't we? Because we've experienced bad stuff at the hands of others. Crowded nowhere near as much as the bad stuff that she'd experienced, but we've been hurt by others, haven't we? We've been let down by others. We've been betrayed by others. Some of us have experienced violence in one or more of its many forms: physical violence, verbal violence, emotional violence, mental violence, financial violence. And so we find ourselves in her corner, in that courtroom, going, go for it, lady. This is your time to get your pound of flesh. This is your time to extract your revenge. But she doesn't go down that road. She goes down the road of grace. It's the road of grace. Not the road of revenge. You know that tit-for-tat cycle? You know the one where you know someone hurts you and then you hurt them back a little more and they hurt you back a bit more and it just keeps going on and on? She didn't go down that cycle, didn't go down the road of revenge, nor did she go down the road of justice. Because no amount of justice, no amount of time behind bars would bring back a son or would bring back a father. No amount of time behind bars can heal a wounded relationship or a broken relationship. And she didn't go down the road of anger and bitterness, because that just poisons you more and more each day. Anger and bitterness does. She went down the road of grace. See, all of those other roads end up holding you chained to those hurts. The road of grace sets you free from them. From them. So that they can never hold you back again. That's what grace does. Sets you free from. And it also sets you free to. It sets you free to see people in a different light. That can open up an amazing, amazing world. You know, you see, we no longer see people who've hurt us as someone who needs to be punished. But we see them as someone whom, using the lady's words in the story, we see them as someone who has actually been forgiven by God. And that I forgive them too. And it does open up a brand new world where we can actually live again. And where we can love again. And where we can give out grace to people who don't deserve it. People who don't deserve our love and mercy, but because we've received grace, we just want to give it out to them. It's a road where past chapters of hurt can be closed and brand new chapters of hope can begin. What road are you on? Now, self-pity road, the bitterness road, the revenge road, some other dead-end road. You tired from walking on any of those roads? Would you like to get onto the grace road? And how do you get on to the grace road? How can you experience the kind of grace that actually enables you to forgive the Vanderbrook in your life? How can you be transformed so that you're actually set free from that stuff and set free to? How? You need to go to Jesus. Because Jesus is where grace is found. What we heard in the gospel reading before, I'm just going to put a couple of those verses up on the screen again. First chapter of John's gospel says this: the Word, that's Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of what? Grace, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness we have all received grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Christ Jesus. Pretty clear, isn't it? If you want grace, you need to go to Jesus. Because he's the personification of grace. He is full of grace, and he wants to do nothing more than to share that grace with you. So I encourage you, maybe not now, but today, just go to a quiet place where you won't be interrupted, and just be honest with Jesus about your faults, about who you've hurt, and who you've let down, and just you resist any temptation to try to justify those wrongs, because we do that so often. You know, I hurt, but I just be open and honest in telling that you're sorry for them. And then hand over to him those people who have hurt you, wronged you. Hand over your Vanderbrook. Hand over to him any desire that you might have for justice and revenge, and just let Jesus deal with that person. Hand over any desire that you might have to, you know, to just spew out anger and bitterness. In fact, ask Jesus to soften your heart so that more and more you can actually see that person as God sees them. And you know how he sees them? As his precious child. Yes, flawed. Yes, fractured. But his precious child who needs his love and grace too. Is that easy to do? You and I know it's not. It actually runs counter to everything that's inside. We want justice. We want revenge. We're not going to let go of anger and bitterness. It runs counter to everything that's inside of us. But you know, it is the way of grace. It is the way of grace. And it's the road that Jesus invites you and I to travel on. And it's a road where he promises to give you and me all the grace we'll need for ourselves and all the grace we'll need to share with those around us. So, it's winding up. What is grace? It's not primarily a concept to be defined, okay? Something to be experienced. And where can you find it? You find it in a person, in Jesus Christ. And he invites you today, to come to him so that he can set you free from all of the bad stuff that's holding you back. Where he sets you free, not just from that, but sets you free to live and to love in a whole new way. And if you're wondering, if you're perhaps doubting whether actually God's grace is strong enough for you to do all of that for you, because maybe the Vanderbrook looms large in your life, if you're really wondering and doubting whether God's grace is powerful enough to transform you, can I just suggest you get on the phone and you ask that lady, you know, whether God's grace is powerful enough to do that. You know, the one in South Africa? Just give her a ring. And I reckon I already know what she is going to tell you. God's grace is enough. Let's pray. But I want to pray firstly for those of us here this morning who have been on the receiving end of significant hurts, betrayals. And Lord, the wounds are still deep. And Lord, I don't want to this morning belittle that and to make out as if those wounds don't hurt, because they do. But Lord, I pray for those people that they might realize that holding on to the hurts and harboring, you know, revenge and all of that stuff isn't going to bring healing and wholeness. Only you can do that. So I pray that they might trust you, that they might just be able to reach out and
hand over those hurts to you and just trust that over time you will bring healing and wholeness. But I also want to pray for those of us today who may have wronged others, and we know we have, and there's guilt that's there, and we don't know kind of what to do about it, how to deal with it. But help us just to take that step to be honest with you, brutally honest, and just lay it before your feet. Because Jesus, you have paid for it, all of it. When you died on the cross for us, it's done. So help us to realize it's no use us hanging on to it anymore. Help us to just give it to you and trust that your grace will be sufficient for whatever, you know, the bad stuff is. And Lord, I pray for this community, that it might continue to be a beacon of grace, just welcoming all, embracing all, in your name. Amen.